probably the greatest challenge that we have as Christians is trusting God. And you would think that would just be a given, that we would trust God, but it's the hardest probably, I mean, to really trust God that we ever have to deal with. I remember when my girls were little and they were learning to swim, I would get in the pool and they would be on the side and I would stand there and hold my arms out and say, jump. And I know they all trusted me. They all did. And they did jump, but we all don't jump sometimes. We trust God, but we just don't give him everything. It's like the prayer that we're called to pray, cast our cares upon thee. And that's our troubles, our heartbreaks, concerns, our worries. We go to God with that. But if we're not careful, we carry them with us when we leave that throne of mercy. I know I do, and I'm just confessing that to you. I ought not. So trusting God is so vital. And God wants us to trust him. And we entered into a theme last Sunday entitled, Can You Trust God? And I meant to say that personally because it's not can I or can somebody else, can you? Are you trusting God? Because trusting God is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about religion or theology. I'm like, can you personally trust God with everything? And that's really what faith, and that's the only way that we can please God. Faith. I mean, God gives us really, really clearly in the scriptures. And we can't have faith without trusting God. So can you trust God? And we know God's trustworthy. And we know, frankly, we can trust him, but do we do it? And we'll be happier and we'll be more peaceful and we'll have more rest when we do actually trust God. And we'll have so much more joy when we do that. And so I want to talk about that again today. We talked last week about can you trust God with your pain? And today can you trust God with your place? With your place. Now, a place is defined as a station, a site. It's where you are. And we have roles. We have fathers and mothers, husbands and wives and children, teachers, students, various roles that God ordained in the church. There's a place. The church, as you know, is described as a body. And a body has parts, and each part is vital, important. They're different, but it all is together in place. And it's important that we can trust God with our place. And here's the thing that hits home to us. Because if everything in your life is lining up just right, you probably won't have any problem trusting God with your place. But here's the deal. And God's the dealer. We often have to deal with circumstances and places that we don't like, that we don't understand. And so here's the thing. Do you trust God in those places? Now, if you and I are going to trust God with everything, we've got to trust God everywhere. And we know that God is everywhere. Here's the thing about God. I want us to be mindful that God is really good at getting us in the right place at the right time for the right reason. And God does that. You can call it providence. That would work. That's what God does. He knows how to strategically line up our lives, put us in the right place, the right time, for the right purpose. And sometimes, again, that doesn't seem like it's the right place for that. There's lots of scriptures we can go to, and I'll refer to a few in the few minutes we have together, but I want you to particularly look at 1 Kings 17 with me this morning. And we see a part of the life of one of the most amazing patriarchs of the Bible. His name is Elijah. He's one of the two that God sent right to heaven without a physical death, so to speak. But 1 Kings 17 is where I want you to go. And let's look at those scriptures. I think it'll help us understand how, by God's goodness and grace, we can trust Him in our place. 1 Kings 17, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 for our text, with the view here of gleaning from the Word the idea or the truth of, can we trust God in our place? And you do have a place, and you know that, and God is what blessing us to realize that in our lives. In verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I want to try to say three things. I want us to see here how God puts us in our place, or His place. So it's God that puts us in the place. Also, I want us to see how, when we're in that place, that we to praise God in that place. How do we do that? By obeying God. Sometimes God puts us between a rock and a hard place. What do we do? How do we react to that? Well, we stand on the rock and we submit to the place, because we realize that it's God that put us in that place. Now here we see Elijah's situation. And you don't have to look hard to understand, he is not in the most comfortable place. Now, I want you to realize, when you get things right with God and you put God in the right place, and that's first, then everything else kind of lines up the way it ought to, okay? Sometimes, though, our problem is we put things in the wrong place. We get our lives out of the right lineup with God. And so Elijah, though, has put God first. He tells Ahab that he stands before the living God. See, we need to be mindful that when God blesses us, and you know, probably, first of all, when you think about God put us in the place, did you know that He has put you in Christ? That you have a position in Christ that God has given you and placed you in, and that's never going to change. You are in Christ. And what a blessing to realize that. The thing, though, we have a problem with is practicing our position. Because in Christ, you are righteous. In Christ, you are blameless. Now, I'm going to admit, I know I don't feel that way so often. But according to God's word, and that's what we got to go by, that's where God has put us. But so He also gives us circumstantial places that He puts us. He is never without a witness in this earth. Now, what Elijah's doing, what happens because of the righteousness that God has given him through Christ and that he gives us, he has a boldness. See, he has a boldness for the place God is putting him. He's going before Ahab. Ahab is not some foreign king. He is the king of Israel. This is not like going to some Chinese or Russian government, so to speak. He's going to God's people, God's chosen nation. What have they done? They have decided they wanted something besides God. They wanted money. They wanted false gods. They worshiped false gods. They rebelled against God. And God is going to do something about it. So he sends Elijah. And Elijah's going to pray that it's not going to rain. Not for 3 weeks, not for 3 months, but for 3 years. Can you believe how would it would be if it didn't rain for 3 years? That's what's going to happen. And so we see even in James, we see this account referenced to in the 5th chapter of James. Let her cry, baby. I love that. But anyway, he says, the humble, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he refers to Elijah because he prayed that it not rain in 3 years. It didn't rain. So Elijah goes to Ahab and he says it's not going to rain. And what a prayer this is. I mean, how unlikely to pray this kind of prayer. But you know, God puts us in a place to pray. He allows circumstance in our lives so many times just so we can pray. And he prayed, and he prayed for this reason that it didn't make a lot of sense necessarily. You know, I had a mother the other day that told me, says, I pray for my children. If they do wrong, I pray that they get caught. You know, that is the understanding that how much the place of our life makes the difference. And what a blessing it is to see this, but to see that God is the one that puts it in our place. Now notice in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Now he goes to Ahab, and then God's word come to him. He didn't have to look for the word came to him. And God says this, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. All right, so he's telling him what to do, where to go. And he's not saying hide yourself because Ahab's coming after you. What he means by there is separate yourself. Separate yourself from the world. We're to be separate from the world. See, that is our place. Have you felt out of place in the world? You ever get to a party somewhere and you see some things going on there, you just feel out of place. Thank God. See, God's not going to let you be satisfied in a place that you don't need to be, okay? You're not. And that is a measure of God's grace that we need to see. But here's the thing that is so magnificent about God and how he works in everyday life in our place. You be thankful for the place right where you are. Because God has put you there, okay? And you know, we need to see that is a part. You might feel like you're insignificant in some ways. You might feel like, well, how can I be of any use or whatever? Or you might think, well, I'm getting old. I can't do this, that, and the other anymore. No, God, if you're drawing breath, if God has given you life, then you have a place. And we need to trust God with that place. And you know, I think about how God does that. There's other accounts in the Bible where we could have went to deal with this, but another one that I think of just in passing is Esther. You know the book of Esther, the whole book of the Bible of Esther never mentions God. Never mentions. You won't find the name God mentioned in that book. But what happens, God is using it, he's strategically working and placing people in a position to bring a great amount of benefit to his people. And that's what God's doing. He does it. We just don't understand. I mean, we just take it for granted. I know we do. I mean, God takes a queen, Vashti, and he gives her the idea she's not going to do what the king says, dance for him in the party. So he gets mad, the king does, and says, well, I'll just get another wife. He gets his advisors telling him that. So they come along and they start interviewing these beautiful women. And Mordecai, this Jew, has a niece that's so beautiful. He says, well, why don't you go and interview it? And that's what happened. And we know that's Esther. And Esther's a Jew. And the decree that has been given has given to destroying all the Jews. But Esther come to that place in her life. God put her in that place. And it wasn't a comfortable place. I mean, when you have to stand for God, you know what? It's not always the best place to be in as far as comfort. God will get you out your comfort zone. He does that. So what happens to Esther? You remember the story. I think it's in the fourth chapter, the sort of the culmination, the key verse in my opinion. And Esther's kind of backing up from what she has to do, that is go before the king and tell him, because she couldn't go unless she was invited. That was how the kings worked at that time. But Mordecai says, well, if you don't go, God's going to raise up somebody else in your place. But says, who knows? But if God has not sent you into his kingdom for such a time as this. And my friends, who knows that God has not put you in the place that you're in right now? Ever how useless it might seem, ever how unsurmountable the circumstances might be and how big the problems are, I just believe this. I believe that most of the time, our biggest problem, our greatest failures, our biggest fears are the very places that God allows in our life to use us for his greatest glory. Did you hear what I said? Because you know what? You look for that. Don't miss those opportunities. That is what God is doing. See, God is sovereign. Somebody said this the other day in a prayer meeting we had, what Randy's trying to say is, God is sovereign. You're exactly right. I mean, when you come to trust God with everything, when you're trusting God with your place, you're going to say, yes, indeed, God's in control of that. Man, that's comforting. I'm telling you this. You're talking about preaching. Do you know what God has given me? Do you know what God has put me in a position to do? Do you know I'm accountable to God for what I say to you? Do you know what that does to me? It makes me want to run. But you know what? I've got to have confidence. I've got to trust God that he has put me in this place. As meek and feeble and as inadequate as I feel and ignorant as I know I am so many times, I have to understand that God, you've put me in that place. And God has put you in that place. And what you do is you serve God. And you do all you can with all you have, the best you can, for as long as you can. That's what God has called us to do. That's why you're alive. So we don't understand that God has put us in the place. Those places, he says to Elijah, you go to this brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You know, if we're in the place that God wants us to be, God will supply our needs. Now, if God's put you in that place, and you're getting, maybe it's a place that maybe doesn't really feel that good all the time. You just have a lot of money. You understand that God has given us this place. It comes from God. And God's promise is that he will supply all we need. Maybe not all we want. Thank God that's true. But all we need. If you're not getting all you need, maybe you're in the wrong place. There was a guy, the prodigal, in Luke 15, you know. He said, I want him out of here. He's going to change his place. So he leaves, you know the story. He goes out and he lives high and mighty. He sows his wild oats, does all that. But God, by his grace, he wouldn't rest in that place. He come to himself, the Bible says. And he says, you know, I'm in the wrong place. That's what he said. I'm going to go back to my father. And that's what he did. He changed his place. I know one time, I have gotten out of the, you can get out of the bed of sin and change your place. You know when you're in the wrong place. You get up and move. You leave. I remember Mr. Harry Chapman down in Long County. Man, I used to know, he's in heaven now. He was a platoon captain in the Army in World War II. And he was over in Germany, and he told me, and I still remember this. He said, you know, one day, Randy, we were camped, and said, something came to me. And he says, I believe it was God. And God said, move. And he says, I moved a platoon, a company of soldiers. And he said, no sooner than we moved around a bend in a road than three bombs just smothering the place we were at. How many? Somebody was telling me the other day, and I'm talking about physical places, that a storm, a recent storm, destroyed a house that they normally would have been in. But what happened, they've decided for some reason to go visit somebody else that particular day. I mean, these things are not. See, when I'm talking about trusting God, I'm not talking about a chance. I'm not talking about being lucky. I'm talking about understanding that, yes, where you are, you hold in that place, okay? And Elijah says, I don't know. I'm sure he had to say that. But God says, you go by that brook and said, it's not going to rain for 3 years, you know. Elijah believed that. And you know what the Cherith meant? Cherith meant drought. So God says, not by the river, but by the brook. See, God's not to give us too much. The problem we have to deal with, the reason we don't trust God, is because we have too much. When you have to live day by day, and that's really how we do have to live, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We trust God. We need to trust God to find He supplies that every day. He doesn't always show us what's around the road, the corners, but we're to walk with God. What does he say? Righteous, he orders his steps. The steps of a good man or a woman are ordered by the Lord. What a blessing. How exciting it is to know that we can trust God with our place. Doesn't that make us have enthusiasm for our place? I'm talking about the sovereignty of God this morning, of course. And I'm not telling you something that should make you sleepy in spiritual life. No, this is something, I pray that you could go in here excited about the place that God has given you. That you would use it and bless it and rejoice in it. Thank God for it. And it's not about, you know, you being concerned about somebody else's place. What about your place? You know, Peter, he tells Jesus. He just got through being graciously forgiven, being graciously given the command to feed God's sheep, attesting that he loved him, and here he has the audacity to say to Jesus, talking about John, well, what shall this man do? In John 21. I mean, what about his place? You know what Jesus told him? He said, what is it to you, Peter? That's what he said. What he does. You follow me. See, that's our place. Follow Jesus. That is our position. That is our place. That's where we are. And you know what? God knows our place. He knows if we're following him or not. You know, after Adam's sin, what did God say? Where art thou, Adam? Wasn't it God didn't know where he was? He wanted Adam to know where he was. Do you know where you are? Are you trusting God in your place? Man, that makes life so much worth the living. It does. Secondly, I want us to say that we're to praise God in the place that we're at right now. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Isn't that amazing? A God, and again, has sovereignty over nature. Ravens in the Bible, particularly in the book of Leviticus, were birds that were not to be eaten, not to be even handled. They were, But God says, I'm going to feed you with them. I mean, sometimes we get to a place and we wonder, how in the world are we going to be supplied? Am I going to have what I need from this? It just doesn't look like it's going to happen. See, that's where we need to trust God. Not with the supplies, but how it's the source, but with God that promises it. And that's what Elijah does, you see. And there's the greatest praise that we can happen, and we see that here. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Elijah did in verse 5. That is how you praise God. You do what God says do. You praise him. That is how you praise God. Obedience, okay? Thanking you, God, for this place you've given me. You know, sometimes our lives can be eat up with covetousness or just, you know, people say, well, I wish I was in that place or whatever. Why don't we ask God to just help us, Lord, be content with such state that we find ourselves in? God will do that. That is a praiseworthy token. Now, what I'm saying to you, and I think you know this, that we're to be content with our place. In 1 Corinthians, I think I can go there quickly. There's one part of Scripture that kind of clears that up, because I don't want you to think, well, I just, whatever place I am, that's what I'm going to stay in, and you just kind of get locked in. No, that's not how it is. It says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 7, look at this. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. That is, stay in his place. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. In other words, if you got an opportunity to improve your place as God has called you, you do it. That's what this means. See, God's given us that opportunity. But if not, you just thank God for the place that God has given you. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. I said the other day, I said, you know, a little flower, you can take one of these little roses and stick it somewhere in a cavern in the darkest place. It's just as beautiful as some great gigantic tree that's blooming in a national park somewhere. I mean, that is the beauty that God gives us. I mean, just to be in that place and how God uses that. You know, I could go, and you can think in your mind, I know it's going now, you think of God and how he works, and this is what this reason we're worshiping today about this is for. There's a little boy who had two fishes and five loaves. And all Jesus said, or what the disciples told Jesus, there's a lad, there's a boy here. There's somebody in this place. What is that about so many, they said. Jesus said, you just didn't bring it here. See, it's not what you got, it's what God does with what you have. It's about being in your place. It's about rejoicing and praising God and being thankful for what God has given us and how we praise God in our place. And then sometimes, lastly, you know, we have to pause in our place. This brook dried up. Elijah didn't, though, say, oh, goodness, what's going to happen? I got a warning for you from God, and I think we can say that. I say it to me, too. Things are not always going to continue as they are. You understand that? It's not going to always be like this. He said the brook dries up. See, it all comes from God. Your drying brook and my drying brook may be your health. Might be. Might be your wealth. Might be your popularity. All I've got to say is things change. Change. And change is, but God doesn't. So what God uses change in our lives, what does he do? Why did the brook drop? Because he says, Elijah, can you trust me? Can you trust me when your circumstances change? Do you know why you're in the place you are? I believe this is all my heart. God is preparing you for another place. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14. He's talking about heaven. He's going to the cross. And by the way, do you know that God put Jesus on the cross? It wasn't the Roman soldiers. Yeah, they were just players in it. It's God that did it. Romans 3:25 says that, 3:25-26, that God declared him, that he put him at, set him up there as a propitiation for our sins. That's what God did. And see, sometimes it's, we have to realize we're in places that can be most uncomfortable. God will get us out of our comfort zone. He does. But it's a reason that he prepares us for something even better. He always gives us something to look forward to. Now, what he's about to do with Elijah, and I don't have time to do with this morning, but notice in the next verse, he says, after the book dried up, and the word of the Lord came unto him in verse 8, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which is belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Isn't that amazing? God's moving Elijah. He said, but just go on. I'm going to take care of you there too. That's how it is with God. That's how it is. And we can rejoice in that and trust him. I promise you that. And I know you know that. I just wanted to just announce that from God, that we can trust God in our place. And every place is important. It is. And what a blessing to know that, and what a blessing to rejoice that in our way. You know, sometimes I noticed, and particularly my grandkids, you put them in a car seat when they're little, they don't like that place. They don't. But, you know, and sometimes God does that to us. But you just buckle up, okay? That is how God gives us the safety of our lives. And to understand what a blessing that we have with him, that we can trust him with our place. Can you trust God in your place that you are right now in your life? As a parent, as a husband, a wife, as a single person, in our old age, in our young age, whatever place that is, that's where God has given us. It's from God. And how we use that is our gift back to him. May the Lord bless us to be mindful of our place and to trust God in our place and make the use of it, that God would make us usable in the place that he's given us. And he does that. You know the story as I close. I still remember reading it about the little boy walking on the beach and all the starfish was washed up on the beach, you know, and this little young boy was picking up these starfish and throwing them back in the water. And this older guy was walking on the beach and he saw the boy doing that. And he says, man, what are you doing that for? You're not going to make any difference with all these multitudes of starfish out here. And the boy seemed not even to hardly pay attention to the guy. And he just picked up another starfish and threw it back. And he said, well, it made a difference to that. There's people in your life that the place that you're in, whether that's a mother, a father, a friend, a church fellowship, whatever it might be, you are making a difference as a teacher to that one, just that one person. That is what God has given you that place for. And I pray that the Lord will bless us to trust him and not be discouraged with the place that he's given us. You know, sometimes we just have to pause in our place to heal, to put roots down. We don't move around when we plant a plant. We don't pull it up the next week. We let it set down roots. When a bone is broken, it's set and put in a cast to stay, to heal. May the Lord bless us to stay in place. The Apostle Paul called us to do that, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 15. In the very last verse or so, he said, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what staying in place. There's an exercise that you do in calisthenics sometime called running in place. It's important. It's a very important exercise. I believe that is for the believer too, that we continue to rev up our spiritual hearts to serve the God that has given us place to serve him in. Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us a place. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort of knowing we can trust you with that place. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us all a sort of a divine instinct of destiny as Christians, realizing, Lord, that heaven is the ultimate place. And we'll never completely be complete and satisfied till we're there. But Lord, on the way, we thank you for the joy and for the comfort and the hope that you've given us of blessing us, Lord, that our life is not fruitless when we're in place with you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.